Welcome to World Cafe Words and Music from WXBN. I'm David Dye. This is the World Cafe. I'm David Dye, and our guest today is Dawes.
On today's World Cafe, we are so happy to welcome Dawes back. They have a brand new CD called Stories Don't End. And talking with us today, the Brothers Goldsmith, Taylor and Griffin. Hey, you could be the Bee Gees. The Brothers Goldsmith. And we're also going to have a performance from the full band of songs from the new album. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Third album, and you're out on your own label?
Yep, Hub Records it's called.
Why did you decide to leave the other place?
ATO was a great label for us, and putting our first two records out with them, you know, got us to where we are now, so we have a lot to thank them for. But, we're lucky enough to be in a spot now where we can, between the, resources of our management company and just where the band is in terms of the fans that we do have, we have a foundation enough to where we can take a swing at just releasing it ourselves, and then kind of the security of owning it, the less cooks in the kitchen, all those things that any band would appreciate at some point.
Full control.
Yeah.
Are you control freaks?
Not particularly. About the music, maybe.
Now, you told Rolling Stone that you want to be seen as more today on this album than the kind of 70s Laurel Canyon feel singer-songwriter thing that people characterized you as sort of before. But what do you want to say?
Well, I think, it's probably my fault for getting the words turned around, but I think, it's not exactly that we're not trying to dictate anybody's impression of the band through anything other than the music. And while we're not particularly making a strong effort to be like these L.A., revivalists in terms of some sort of sound, we're also not trying to be some contemporary modern sounding band either. It's really just we want to, like any band does, take our best swing at having a singular voice. And if what you like about us is the fact that we sound like a 70s band, or if what you like about us is the fact that we don't sound like a 70s band to you, then that's great. I mean, we're not. I guess with that Rolling Stone thing, what ended up happening was that it seemed like we have a certain sort of agenda conceptually with our music, which I don't think we have.
Ironically, you've spent a lot of time in Laurel Canyon doing this Laurel Canyon jam that you were doing and recording the first two records there. But yeah. That was not necessarily connected to...
Well, we did the first record there because that's where our producer lived. Then he moved to Echo Park, and we haven't really been to Laurel Canyon since. Jonathan really kind of kept the spirit alive in a really cool way in terms of like, oh, this might have been what it was like back in the day. But once he moved away...
That was pretty short-lived, at least for us, too. I mean, it was a couple of occasions that we were there, you know?
Yeah, we met him a couple months before he was moving out.
We made our record in 2 weeks, so we didn't really spend too much time there.
Our guests today on the World Cafe are Dawes. We're talking with Griffin and Taylor Goldsmith about their new album. So the new album was recorded far away from L.A., although the songs are still pretty L.A.-centric, because you write what you know, right?
Exactly.
And you worked in Asheville, North Carolina. What was that like?
It's great. It's a really incredible town, and it was awesome to be able to displace ourselves and only have one thing in mind every day and have more than enough time to really like hone in a way that we've never done before.
It helped you isolate and focus?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, our routine consisted of going from our house to the studio and vice versa. But, yeah, I mean, our minds were... Our goal was very singular, and I think that was definitely a big part of the process.
Well, the first single from this album, From a Window Seat, let's listen to you performing it, and then we'll talk about it a little, okay?
All right.
Thank you. That's Dawes on the stage of World Cafe Live in Philadelphia, performing a song from their brand new CD, their third CD, Stories Don't End, from a window seat. And we can talk to the writer of the song, Taylor Goldsmith. Very eloquent song about the songwriting process and a lot of other things. And one thing that I can personally relate to, having lived in LA, is that feeling of being in the airplane and seeing the sprawl of Los Angeles as you land.
Yeah, that is one of the most exciting things about going home, is that the last 15 minutes of the flight into LA, because you really catch everything. You catch Riverside and downtown, and you can see the dangerous areas and the areas that friends live in, and you can try to name the freeways to yourself. You can see the Hollywood sign, you can see the Griffith Observatory, and then you get into like Westwood and Santa Monica, and you start to, I mean, it's so cool because you see it walled in by the mountains, and then you eventually see the ocean. And so I think that was kind of the headspace I was in when I started writing the song. Because it definitely was kind of, at least the beginning of it, it was like penned on a plane, and then once I got home, I kind of flushed it out and like finished the tune. But the first few lines, that sort of thing, was all kind of laughing at the, I guess, absurdity, or just the like how funny it is to like see what it means to be a human in 2013, and watching the flight attendants flail their arms at you and listen to music by plugging something into a seat, and like stuff like that is just sort of like, this is like, if I really think about this, it's really kind of can be pretty funny and pretty weird. And so that's kind of where it started, and then from that, I guess it kind of just grew into a song about writing a song like under a strange circumstance.
Were you on that flight, Griffin?
I don't think it was like one in particular, or maybe it was, but I'm sure, yeah. I'm sure it was. We fly like a crazy amount everywhere all the time.
Taking flights without each other at this point is pretty strange.
Yeah, I actually enjoy going on trips where I'm not carrying my gear or anything that's not related to the band, because it's like the only thing that is unfamiliar.
What's the difference in age between you two?
5 years.
And you're younger than Taylor. And did you always like want to have a band together? Was music something that you did from the time you can remember?
Yeah,
he was in a band. When I was like kind of, I mean, I obviously was considerably younger in terms of like high school and how that went. And when they got started, I was way too young to think about doing that. But it was something that I always aspired to do. And the drum teacher, my first drum teacher was actually the drummer in their band, and was fortunate enough to like kind of facilitate the change.
Wow, that's great. Were you a kid who was always hitting stuff before you actually took drum lessons?
I mean, I don't know if that comes from like intrinsic rhythm or the fact that like our whole family is like some kind of like jittery and. It can be a little crazy, but I've been playing for about as long as I can remember.
Are there other kids in your family?
We have some half siblings on our father's side. Griffin and I are each other's only full sibling.
Wow! So you've been tight. You've been close from the beginning, mm-hmm. even though there's an age difference that sometimes is difficult to broach, especially at a young age. Interesting. With us today are Taylor and Griffin Goldsmith and the band Dawes. Taylor, you wrote one of the best lines ever, in my opinion, on your first album. You can stare right into the abyss, but it's staring right back. Very mature theme for someone, or observation for someone who was as young as you were when you wrote that.
Yeah, it's changed a little bit to like fit the song, but it was a Friedrich Nietzsche line, actually, something along those lines. I forget exactly his wording of it, but I definitely can't take all the credit, because I was checking him out for a while, and that was one of the things I stumbled upon. But it seemed to fit the song perfectly at the time.
You're a big reader, I take it.
Yeah, try to be. Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah. We have a lot of time to read.
Yeah, I feel like musicians, it's funny, like, people might not realize it, but musicians are afforded the opportunity to be bigger readers than a lot of people, just because so much of our job is a matter of traveling and waiting and killing your travel time. So being in the bus or van or airplane, I don't know, like sometimes when I talk to other friends who are also creative people, when we talk about like, oh, this or that book or something, they're like, man, I wish I had as much time to read as you guys do. And it's really funny because I don't know if a lot of it's like a secret of being a musician is reading time, it seems like.
Do you read the same books and discuss them?
Not really.
You could have your own book group on tour.
Griff's more of a nonfiction philosophy guy. I end up being more of like a stories, literature, novel kind of person. So,
is there a song on this album that relates to something you've read?
Definitely, and you know, most do. For me, like it's always like how I'm writing or something will be shaped by what I'm excited about. Like I was reading a lot of Joan Didion for this whole album, and so that I felt like informed the way I would make observations and the way I would write. And then also Paul Auster and certain guys that I feel like were a big part of how I would write in some like, you know, something like Stories Don't End, the title track, like that might be a more obvious example of my fascination with that world, I guess you could say. I don't know, but I think to a certain extent they're all, you know, sometimes I like read a passage like I read a passage from a certain book, and that kind of inspired the whole idea for Just Beneath the Surface, the first song on the album. So I guess it's always, but it'll always be in a loose, broad way, and then I'll kind of find my own way to put in a song.
Taylor Goldsmith, stay tuned. Three more songs from Dawes playing live, and Taylor discusses whether his friends know when it is them he is writing about in his songs. As our session with Dawes continues, we get right back here to the World Cafe. Let's get back to Michaela Majune's conversation with Dawes today, along with tracks recorded in front of an audience at World Cafe Live. Dawes is based in Los Angeles and associated with the Laurel Canyon Sound. They're a four-piece made up of brothers Taylor and Griffin Goldsmith, Wiley Gelber on bass, and Ty Strathern on keyboards. Their new album, their third, is called Stories Don't End. And here's another live track. This is Some People.
She smiles at me lovingly, a that says just let me hold your hand. So far it's the only way I could let myself be heard. Cause it makes most people don't talk enough about how lucky they are. Most people don't know what it takes for me to get through the day. Most people don't talk enough about the love in their hearts. She doesn't know most people feel that same way.
That was Most People, one of the songs on the brand new Dawes album called Stories Don't End. Why did you decide, the first track on the album you reprise at the end of the album, it's called Just Beneath the Surface. Why did you decide to do that?
I guess because mainly the song was really long. when I wrote it, I wrote it and it was as it is as the first track, and then I felt like it wasn't finished, so I wrote what's in the reprise, and because I felt like that had more of a conclusive quality to it. But then when I would play the whole thing, it'd be like 7.5 minutes, and I thought it was a little long. So I also felt like the conclusive quality of that particular song could apply to a lot of the ideas that go along with the whole record, and so I thought it would be interesting to hear what it would sound like if we bookended the album with a song that I feel like has a lot in common with thematically with a lot of the other songs, and it ended up really ended up speaking for the whole thing in a really cool way, where now every song feels like it's of a piece rather than some collection of songs, at least, you know, and that's probably just for me and the band. I don't know, maybe other people might hear it that way too, but it's might just be something that we pick up on, I guess, for ourselves.
It does feel like it's of a piece. I mean, there's a lot of observation of yourself and other people in this, and you're so tuned into psychology. Why is that?
I don't know. I think
ever been in therapy?
I mean, I guess like because with most people, that the one song that song was inspired by hanging out at the mall one day, and it was during Christmas, or it was after? No, yeah, it was right before Christmas, and just thinking about how I think I fell into this tendency that I think a lot of people can do at the mall, where they're like, oh my gosh, look at, here I am at the mall, how ironic, how silly, like, this is, you know, I don't go to the mall, this is funny. But then, like, I started thinking, like, wow, it's really small-minded of me, and it's really, like, ridiculous of me to think that way. Like, and then I saw a couple passing by, and I assumed, like, they must be looking at me and thinking the same thing about themselves, like, oh, look at that mall person. We are not mall people, but here we are at the mall. And I thought, like, oh, it's really funny how I think that even though we all have this, everybody has it, I think, has this really unfair blanket opinion of a group of people, in this case people that go to the mall all the time, and we make this like maybe snap judgment as to who these people are, when in reality we're all probably making that same snap judgment and excluding ourselves from that observation. So I don't know, maybe that's like pretty elementary stuff, but for me I was kind of fascinated by it, and so that's how that song happened. I mean, I definitely have no experience in psychology, and I've never really gone to therapy. So I guess for me, it's more just these fascinations. And maybe if I did know more about it, I wouldn't be so blown away.
So you've had some amazing experiences of late. And I know you went on tour with Mumford & Sons last summer while that album of theirs, Babel, was just going. Mm-hmm. Ballistic. What was that like?
It's great. They're the nicest dudes in the world, and those shows were incredibly packed and a lot of fun, and they had high energy.
Yeah, they have a great, I mean, they're obviously an incredible band, and they also have incredible fans. We feel like it was a real turning point for us because, I don't know, it just felt like before the Mumford tour and after the Mumford tour, Dawes was really in a different place, and it was all thanks to their generosity of having us out for so long.
Dawes are here today on the World Cafe, and I understand that you took a trip to Rwanda. When was that, and why?
Like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, not that long ago. We were invited to go with a charity called Nothing But Nets, which is a charity fighting malaria around the world, and they wanted to bring us to refugee camps in Rwanda to not only learn about these displaced people from the DRC, but also the effects of malaria firsthand. And it was a really eye-opening experience, and it's something everybody should be more aware of than they are, because we definitely weren't aware. It's the sixth leading killer. It used to be number one leading killer in parts of Africa, well, in all of Africa, I think, and now it's the sixth, but mainly because of the work that charities like this and this charity specifically have done. And these people, in some cases, like in these refugee camps, they live in these little mud huts, and it's so heartbreaking. And to think that on top of all these things they have to deal with, they also have to worry about this terrifying disease just makes it not make any sense. So I think it's a really good thing for someone to want to get involved in.
Your first trip to Africa?
Yeah.
And a far cry from the suburbs of L.A.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was not anything, I mean, it was, you know, even being a musician, you never really think that's going to afford you any sort of opportunity under any circumstances to go to Africa. So we were really surprised that we were going to do that. It was unlike anything we've ever seen.
Do you think it might inspire some music?
Yeah, it could. I mean, we've been going since we got back, so haven't had a chance to really try to put it down in a song, but you never know.
The song Just My Luck, it seems like maybe You were saying that one day. Just my luck. And it struck you as there's a song there. Is that?
Yeah, I heard the phrase used, and I thought there's a phrase that it gets said all the time, but you don't really, like, think about all the different ways that can be meant. And so I thought that I could try to play around with it a little bit and turn it into a song. So I sing it like 20 times in the song. It's like more than any title of a Dawes song gets sung in a song. But
is
yeah.
Is that good or bad? Or
it's good. I mean, I don't know. It gives it its own identity in the amount of songs we have.
Well, people are not going to hear that phrase again without thinking of this song. We're going to hear Just My Luck from Dawes on the stage of World Cafe Live.
It's not my colder-hearted tendencies that keeps you from being here with me, or the universe's brilliant designs. It's just my luck. Spend my whole life moving forwards, but understand it looking back, like watching last night's tape. It's just my
That was Just My Luck. It's on the new Dawes CD called Stories Don't End, with a special performance today for the World Cafe. And we have Taylor and Griffin Goldsmith from the band, the founders of the band, here with us to talk about the songs. There's a song on the album that seems like a breakup song called Someone Will.
Yeah, it's it was like, you know, just trying to go out of my way for a friend and try to let her know that she's maybe not taking the best care of herself and not keeping the right kind of company, and then I guess it kind of goes from there. And within the song, even though this might just be for the sake of the song rather than the reality of the situation, it, you know, there's a little bit of a romantic twist to the whole thing, I guess.
Do your friends take these songs as being about them or being autobiographical? Because everybody always thinks songs are autobiographical, and they aren't necessarily.
Sometimes. A lot of the songs are about the same person. So, especially with the last record. And she definitely knows it.
Okay, I guess we're going to leave it at that. And her name is. Okay, let's hear that one, too.
All right, cool.
Grab your cigarettes and follow me out of the living room. And I'll get drunk enough to tell you. How they all seem to get the best of you. 'Cause if I don't say these things, you know someone will. If that look in your eyes as I slowly go through the evidence gives any insight into the void you can't get filled, then your heart is bigger than anything I've come up against. And if nobody's loved you enough, I know now someone will. Beside the only person that you could face it with, but if
you don't want me after tonight, someone will. I have to believe that someone will.
Thanks, everybody.
Dawes live in the cafe. Thanks to Michaela Majune. Dawes' new album is called Stories Don't End. You're on the World Cafe. I'm David Dye. World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN is produced at WXPN in Philadelphia. If you'd like to hear more of our World Cafe sessions and get daily cafe alerts, you can sign up at our website at worldcafe.npr.org. As always, thanks for spending your time with the World Cafe.